light bulbs were 95% heat and only 5% light. So today I want to talk about why I decided to become a teacher, kind of how that route kind of took place, the decisions that I made to get there, why I love teaching, and also specifically talk about why I chose to teach high school rather than smaller kids, and also post-secondary, because I thought of teaching at the post-secondary level for a bit. So we're going to get into all that stuff. We'll start off when I was little. I have this weird memory, and it's, again, you can't really trust memories that much, but I have this weird memory of when I was actually still living in Lethbridge as a kid, and I was, like, between 8 and 10. Like, I moved from here when I was 11, so I guess between 8 and 11, and maybe, I don't remember what sparked this thought of, like, what am I going to be when I grow up? Like, I don't know, but I remember being at home, I remember being in the apartment alone, and I was thinking that, like for careers, and I was like, I don't know, and keep in mind, at this time, I wasn't doing anything creative or artistic, really. I wasn't writing, I wasn't like, I mean, I doodled like a little tiny bit, just like any kid that age probably would, but very rarely. So I was not that like super artsy kid in any regard when I was a child. And, but I was thinking like, I had this thought, of, and again, music too, like, I wasn't really like, oh man, music's the best, I love music, I want to be in a band one day, like, that wasn't really a thing either, but I had this thing of like, wow, like, musicians are cool, like, I had that, like, a little bit, and I was like, yeah, I could, like, be in a band, I guess, like, but, like, it wasn't even the fact that I said, like, yes, I could, it was immediately being like, well, I couldn't do that, it was kind of like, that'd be the coolest thing to do, like, that's the coolest job ever, but of course that wouldn't happen, that's like a one in a million shot. And I was like, well, like, a writer is cool. Like, writers, you know, they just do their own thing and they don't have a boss. I don't know exactly what my thoughts were because this was, like, 2 decades ago, more than that. So I don't really remember everything about that. But I remember thinking, like, yeah, but that's not really, like, a viable option. I'm sure that's the language I was using. But it was just, I kind of knew, like, that's a slim chance that you'd actually make it, right? And then I was like, well, writers, like, teach writing, like, writers, like, teach classes and stuff, so, like, that's a thing. And I think that was the first time, like, a teacher entered my mind. Again, it's really difficult to trust how much of that memory that is accurate, because memory is a tricky thing, especially when it's that old and it's, like, this weird little thought. But I think that's where the seed was planted, just a tiny little thing. And then I don't really know, I don't have any other, like, hard, specific moments that was like, yes, I'm going to be a teacher because this thing. But there are two specific examples when I was in high school, two people that inspired me. Well, they both inspired me to be a teacher, but one is a really bad example of a bad teacher, and one is an amazing example of a great teacher. And both of those people really, they're like a huge reason as to why I wanted to teach. So I guess going into that, so we skip a little bit, and then, like, I'm living in Outlook, Saskatchewan, a town of 2,500 people. If you haven't heard me talk about this before, I moved away from Lethbridge when I was 11, and then I moved to this small town, so this relocating happened. It's a very small town. I don't remember how big the school was, so we had, like, I went to Gilbert Patterson when there was, like, an elementary and middle school, and I went there from K to 5. And then I went to Outlook for grade 6 to 12. But their elementary school stopped in grade 6 at the time. It was K to 6. And the high school was 7 to 12. And they introduced, actually, I think it was my graduating year, they introduced the grade 6s into the high school. Or maybe it was after that, but I'm pretty sure that's, or whatever. Anyway, so the high school was grade 7 to 12 at the time. So I had, like, 1 year in elementary school, and then I went to the high school. I don't remember art being taught in elementary. Like, I don't know if it just wasn't an option. Like, I don't remember having options in elementary school. I don't remember ever taking art. Again, my memory might be failing me. I remember my homeroom teacher. I don't remember anything else. And I'm going to sneeze. So... Oh, that's fun. So yeah, I don't remember any of that, but I remember when I got to high school. So I'm going to kind of start backwards a little bit, because there's these two teachers, and one of them was my grade 7 homeroom teacher, which I'll get into in a bit. That's going to be the latter example of, like, the amazing example, and then I'm going to start with the poor example. So I mentioned before I didn't know I was interested in art. Like, have you seen some other videos that were, like, story times or whatever when I talk about graffiti and stuff? And, like, I'll probably make one that talks about, like, my artistic journey for sure. I did not know I was interested in visual art until after high school. This teacher is part of the reason why I didn't know that. Because I was, like, kind of doodling with letters a lot. I was basically doing graffiti before I knew what graffiti was. And then when I moved to Saskatoon, it's a way bigger city, 3 times the size of Lethbridge. I think it's, like, 300,000 people. I moved there, and then I was like, yo, like, I met this dude who was doing graffiti and stuff, and then I got introduced to graffiti, and through that I was just introduced to art in this way, and I just fell in love with art, visual arts. But during high school, I was writing a lot. I was writing a lot of poetry, some prose, some, like, songs and whatever. And, yeah, that was my, like, artistic endeavor during high school. Probably grade 8, I think I started when I was about 14. So, yeah, that's what I was doing. Anyway, it's a really small school. There's not very many options or electives, whatever you want to call them, option courses. In grade 8, we had to take home ec. I took some shop classes, I think grade 11 and 12, maybe grade 10, 11, 12. I don't really recall. But it was kind of like, oh, you can take band or you can take art. And there might have been, like, another option in there, but I don't really remember. I mean, like, after a while, French is an elective. Like, you had to take it for a bit, and then it was an elective. So I don't remember all the choices. There weren't very many, though, and it was kind of like band or art. And I was like, well, I've never played an instrument before. Like, I don't have an instrument. Instruments are expensive. You're not taking band. I guess let's take art. And so I started that in grade 7. And, yeah, my art teacher was not very engaging. So it's such a small school, you only have one art teacher. They were not a very engaging art teacher, to be polite. And they were for all grade 7 to 12, my art teacher didn't change. And I took art, like, the whole time. So I never felt, like, throughout that whole time, like, all those years, grade 7 to 12, it never clicked for me. It was never like, oh yeah, I like art. We did a lot of the same stuff every day. So we did still life every day for, like, 15 minutes or whatever, at least. You know, we just, like, someone would set up, like, a still life, and then we would draw that. We did grid portraits. I remember doing grid portraits, which is, I don't think that helps you draw better, but whatever. I remember I did one of, like, a snowboarder, and I don't remember, we probably had to do, like, a face one. I know that we had to draw some faces, because I drew Marilyn Manson, with pastels once. I did a black and white one, too, with pencil. Anyway, we had some paint, like, those crappy block tempera paints that suck, that are probably meant for elementary school kids. Like, we had those, because I don't remember us having acrylics. I don't remember any tube paints. I don't even remember watercolor, honestly. We didn't use oils, which is, I wouldn't use oils with high school students unless they were, like next level either. But yeah, I don't remember much painting going on at all. I don't remember painting anything, honestly. We had to do, like, Easter eggs. Like, I don't know. I don't remember doing anything 3D. Again, memory is a thing, but, like, there wasn't much that we did, and still life drawing was, like, a huge part of that. That's not necessarily a bad practice to do still lifes and stuff like that, but those weren't skills that I came to use later in life that much. They weren't skills I needed then. So anyway, what I can say for sure is, like, my art teacher was not very engaging. There was nothing conceptual going on in that class. Like, I think we did a little bit of art history. We didn't really talk about anything contemporary that I recall at all. We never talked really about public art, about, you know, graffiti or about murals or, like vandalism or, like, postering or, you know, I guess yarn bombing wasn't really a thing, but I mean, there was nothing like contemporary, not even like, oh, this is contemporary painting or contemporary sculpture. Let's talk about this. Or we didn't talk about abstract art. We didn't do a diddly. Like, she didn't present the material in a way that I could get interested. And I don't think I was the only one. I think there was a lot of people in that class that were not engaged in being like, yo, art is lit. Like, that just wasn't a thing that was really happening. There were a couple people that were already kind of like good at sketching and drawing, and so they excelled in that class because they were able to just do that. But there wasn't anything we were doing with meaning. It was a lot of crafts and design, I guess, is what I would call it. So, yeah, I mean, there's some assignments where you can kind of pick what you want to do. I guess you could have had meaning, but we had to do stuff like for Remembrance Day. Like, a lot of stuff was just based around like holidays and seasons, because it was like, oh, we have to do posters for Remembrance Day. We're going to use pastel, chalk pastels, or oil pastels, whatever, and you have to do something around that. And I was like, why? Yeah. So, not very engaging, nothing really conceptual going on, did not hook me into art at all throughout that whole time. And on top of that, our teacher was, like, really short and, like, kind of rude, at least with me. And, like, I don't even think it was just with me. And more aggressive and, like, not very friendly at all. Just really, I don't know, kind of old school maybe. Like, really old school in a lot of ways. But it was almost like she didn't have a passion for art, really. Because she just, I don't even know if she did any art on her own. Like, I don't even know if she was an artist. It just wasn't, like I said, it wasn't engaging is, like, the most polite thing to say. Also, just personality-wise, she wasn't engaging. The material wasn't engaging. The projects were not engaging. Concepts, nothing there was good. On top of that, as someone who's gone through the education system, when I was in Saskatchewan and I did my education degree, and I did my internship, I was using Saskatchewan curriculum, the same one that she was using, because the curriculum, I don't know if it's changed now, but as of 2015, the art curriculum is still from 1997. Well, 1997, like, that's when I moved to Outlook. So she was using that curriculum, or she should have been using that curriculum. I know from my having, I had to create units and assignments and everything based out of that curriculum, that she wasn't hitting all the, what we call outcomes and indicators and stuff like that. She was not presenting us with all the material that should have been presented in the curriculum, 100%. I remember thinking that when I was going through the curriculum and I was just having these flashbacks to art class and how boring and really just super boring it was. Like I said, part of it was her not really engaging as a teacher, not really connecting with students. And then also part of it was that she just wasn't teaching the material. Like, that's the thing as an art teacher. I mean, this goes for anything really, like with English or whatever, or not anything, but like the humanities especially. With something like math, it's like you have to learn Pythagorean theorem or whatever. Like, it's very specific, right? And you can kind of create some different assignments around how you get to different places and how you learn theories or whatever and formulas. But, like, with art, especially, I find that there's a lot of freedom as a teacher, because it's like, yes, one of the things, like, in curriculum, I mean, for Alberta, is like, oh, you, in the Art 30, you have to have a cohesive body of work. You have to present a body of work, which basically means, like, you have to have an exhibition. Like, you have to create work that is around a theme as if you were going to exhibit it. That is part of, like, curriculum. How do you do that? I mean, that's, like, how you get there is up to you. Or if it's, like, oh, you have to present them with, like, opportunities to do, like, okay, like, value, to learn, like, values in grade 10. To learn the elements and principles of design. That's a huge thing in Art 10. So it's like, how do you teach them that? That's up to you, but that's stuff they have to learn. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of flexibility with the assignments and how you get there. So it's not like the curriculum is stale and boring and old, because the thing is, like, Saskatchewan's curriculum from 97, Alberta's curriculum is still working from 1986. So I, like, if you're watching this and you're having to be a student that attended one of my classes or something, like, I, you know, pride myself on the fact that I can take that old dusty curriculum and be like, yeah, let's do some exciting stuff with this. Let's open it up and let's get in there. It's pretty loose. There's a lot of flexibility there. So anyway, it's not the curriculum's fault. But that's the thing. I knew that she wasn't really doing everything in the curriculum and she wasn't really following that and like working with it that much. It was kind of like, oh, we're just going to do this. It kind of just felt so stale. Like she hadn't ever changed up her lessons since like the 80s or something. So she, like, I don't know. And again, it's not, the curriculum is not to blame for it. I will tell you that much. So that was my experience with my art teacher. Like, I didn't have anything, huge problems with her or anything like that, but she was not engaging. She didn't connect with students. She was, like, not rough around the edges in the way that I'm rough around the edges, but I mean, she was just not friendly to, like, almost anybody. There was, like, very few. There was, like, one or two, like, kind of teacher's pets with her, kind of. But even, and it wasn't just because the students were good at art, because there was one kid who was, like, really, really, really good at drawing. But, I mean, he's jumping off the walls. He probably had, like, ADHD or whatever and had a lot of difficult paying attention and stuff, and he would skip classes, whatever. It's not like they were, like, buddy-buddy either, just because he was good. So, anyway, that was that one experience. The reason that I cite this as such a huge inspiration for me to teach is because I'm an artist now. Like I found my way into art through the street, basically, through like one friend who took me under his wing in the realms of graffiti, and then I started doing graffiti and vandalizing stuff, and then doing graffiti legally, like on either like murals, like on walls that I was legally allowed to do, and then like on canvas and paper and sketching and like painting and whatever. Then I got into abstracts, then whatever. But that's the thing, is that like I was probably ready for that in high school, but she was so boring and couldn't connect with me on any level in the material. It would, like, that's the thing. It's like, I didn't have to like her in order to like art. Like, there's a way that as a teacher, I mean, you can give students some stuff that they can actually think is interesting, and maybe you don't have a connection. Obviously, way easier if you have a connection to get them interested in stuff, or, I don't know. It's just, but that's the thing that just blows my mind, is like, look, like, I'm an artist now. Like, I love art. Art is my passion. It's like, I live and breathe that. And I was writing a lot then, and I'm writing more now again as well, but, like, I was ready, like, you know, like, I was primed for that, like, I was, like, born for that, and you as a teacher couldn't reach me, you couldn't just give me some cool stuff, like, it was just so stale and boring and not, whatever. Anyway, that to me is just a huge significant thing. So to me, that is an example of a really bad teacher, because I don't expect that I'm going to reach everybody at all. I don't expect that some kid's going to come in my class thinking art is an easy credit and then he's going to leave being like an artist, because some people are taking the class because they've been pushed into the class. They don't really want to be there. And sometimes it's super cool when you can reach a student like that and then they connect with art. That's awesome, but that's not the reality that's going to happen a lot of the time. And I know that, and that's fine. But like I said, I was freaking like ready for that. Like, and still she couldn't even reach me. So anyway, that's one example of the teacher that I would never want to be. I want to try and reach as many students as I possibly can, challenge them, make sure that it's okay for them to challenge me, make sure that they know that, I guess. You know, my biggest thing in the classroom is critical thinking skills, trying to get students to think critically through the lens of like creating art. You know, challenging yourself, challenging your peers, challenging the system, challenging, you know, your teacher, whatever. Like, there's so many things that as an artist that I really just, like, as an artist, as a teacher. To me, there's a lot of things that are a huge crossover. For, like, me as an artist, that's, you know, and me as a teacher of art that are really similar. But, yeah, critical thinking and you know, getting into those deeper concepts, like, which is sometimes really difficult for students, especially younger students. It being like, what are we doing? We're like talking about art right now. We're not actually doing anything. And like, who cares what it means? I just want to like draw stuff. And it's like, hey, you want to draw stuff? Here you go. Draw. I can't teach you how to draw. Like, I can talk to you about some stuff and I can teach you some tips and tricks every once in a while. But it's like, how do you actually get good? Is by doing stuff. Anyway, I'm going off the rails here. So, anyway, not like, yeah. The thing was that it wasn't challenging, it wasn't engaging, it didn't push me, it didn't hook me in, didn't connect. Okay, example of a really horrible teacher in my opinion. And then we get to, I'm going to say his name because I'm talking about really awesome and good things, and that is more acceptable to me if I start talking about names and whatever else. So Mr. Lockhart, he was my grade 7 homeroom teacher. And there's very, very few things from grade 7. He never taught me again after grade 7. That was it. So he was kind of like my introduction to the high school. I was like, oh, I'm in high school now. What's going on? I'm like little and I'm in grade 7. And he was my homeroom teacher. And he was the bomb. I don't remember very much that he actually taught me. Like weird little things like, okay, memories of things he taught me like on one hand easily. What I learned from a science textbook. So not even that he necessarily taught me, but I remember this random fact that at the time, light bulbs were 95% heat and only 5% light. Fun fact. I remember that. I remember we had this poetry unit and we had to like make a poem about how we weren't going to smoke, which is like a weird thing to make a poem about, honestly. I think I also made a poem about my dog, Chico. But yeah, we had to write this poem about how we weren't going to smoke. And then I remember that I had the line, I kept saying like how I wasn't going to smoke. And then towards the end, I was like, but if I ever did. And then he just was like, yo, that's really inconsistent. Like, you can just talk about how you're not going to do something like 10 times and then just say, yeah, but if I do. I don't know. That was like this weird, interesting thing that stuck with me kind of on like the like the light bulb like fact. Like that's just, it doesn't matter at all. And then I remember like when we were doing like a novel study or whatever, I talked about this when I had the conversation about how dystopia, or maybe it wasn't a conversation. What was it? It wasn't a rant. Maybe it was a review. I don't know. About how dystopian novels, like that why dystopian books are important, why dystopian novels are important. I talked about it there because I got to read The Chrysalids because I was in this little special magical group of students because we read all these other novels. Anyway, those are like my three like academic like moments I remember with him. Very few. I remember he was like a good teacher though. Like, I mean, as far as like whatever, like it wasn't like he made me care about this subject or that subject more than I could have. Like, I just couldn't have cared about those things really that much. But he didn't, you know, make me not like them either. The thing was that he was my basketball coach. From grade 7 to 12. I think grade 8, actually, we had somebody else. And then we had him again. But yeah, from grade, you know, every year except one, he was my basketball coach. And that is what I remember. And still, his, like, I mean, he's employed as a teacher. His role was a teacher. And then he was my coach. So, you know, we kind of talked about the bad example about the academics trying to, like, connect with kids on more than one level, but especially when we talk about the curriculum, engaging students in the material. That was this bad example. And it's not, that like, this good example of a teacher, Mr. Lockhart did all that stuff, because I'm sure for some people he did, but for grade 7, I mean, it's grade 7, right? Like, I don't know. It didn't really hook me into anything there either. That's not what he did in this amazing way. It's completely different. And to me, these are these two things that make a great teacher. I'll say that after. What he did was that he actually cared. That's like a really simple thing. But unfortunately, a lot of teachers, I feel, get into the profession for the wrong reasons. It's really frustrating. Kind of really, really frustrating and angering. So he was my basketball coach, and like I've mentioned in some other vlogs and stuff that like, I didn't really have a good time in high school. When I moved to Outlook, things really went downhill for me. You know, besides, like, well, moving to a small town, being this, like, incredibly visible minority in a town of, like, 2,500 people, there was, like three Asian families. There was, like one Caribbean family. There was, like, one or two Aboriginal families. Then there was me, and there was, like, a half Mexican kid. Like, there was just like probably less than 10 families there that were like people of color, again, in 2,500 people approximately. So anyway, it was just like there was that. There was eventually in high school with the music I was listening to and the way that I was dressing and things like that, I was just like mildly bullied, I guess, and like really like more of an outcast, and like, which is fine. But I mean, like, my home life was really not great. I was going through a lot of stuff. And then obviously, like, puberty and, like, being an adolescent and, like, all that other fun stuff that everybody kind of goes through. But I was coming at it from this perspective that wasn't necessarily as privileged as other people, privileged as other people in a lot of ways. So anyway, I did not have a good time in high school. I was very depressed and sad and had a really difficult time. So part of that, I mean, that's relevant to this because, like, I was not having a good time. I self-harmed a lot in high school. And didn't really care if people saw it or not. Sometimes they were in places where people could see and sometimes they weren't, and there wasn't any rhyme or reason to it, really. Just whatever I felt like, because it wasn't something I was doing to show people. I just didn't care if people saw it, because I was like, I don't care, like, whatever. And that's why sometimes they were hidden, because it was more of like a compositional thing, since we're talking about art. It was more of like, what am I doing to my skin right now, and more of a compositional aspect, where do I have room for that right now, whatever. Anyway, so sometimes my cuts and burns and stuff like that were very visible, and people saw them, and then I went to counseling and all this other crap. All that is just to say that I was not having a good time. It was very obvious to everybody. Like, it was obvious that I wasn't having a good time. So, Mr. Lockhart, though, was the only one I really feel that knew how to handle that. I don't think he maybe even knew that what he was doing was good. He might not have known that what he was doing was so essential and beautiful. But the thing is that like I said, he genuinely cared. And I'm not saying that other teachers didn't, but they didn't show it. They didn't know how to show it. There are some people that I know weren't there because they really, really cared about students. 100%. I know it's not why they were there. Just like there's people that I, you know, have been working with here that, you know, same thing. That I know that they're not there for the students. They're there because they think it's a stable career opportunity. I've heard them say as such to people. Anyway, but Mr. Lockhart genuinely cared. I know he didn't just care about me, and that was it. Like, I've seen his care for other students. I remember that he wrote... I remember there was a student that died drinking and driving, and I remember they had asked him to write like a poem about that, and I don't know, and he was very emotional with some stuff, and I don't know, he was a real good egg. But to get into specifics, I mean, like, the thing about him, like, oh, I just knew he cared. I mean, the specifics were that, like, he didn't push. He just made it known to me that he was available, that if I needed to talk, he was there. I don't really remember him doing too much that was special just for me as like a pity case or something like that, because if I sensed that, that probably would have really turned me off. I don't really remember actually using him as a person to go and talk to and unload and like whatever else. It wasn't like we had this deep bond where I went and like talked to him every week and kind of like told him what was going on and he was just someone to talk to. That didn't really happen that much. Like, it was really rare that I kind of talked to him about personal stuff. But it made a huge difference just knowing that he was there, that he was available, that he cared about me as a human being, as a student of the school, and someone that was actually getting into trouble. Like, trouble with the school, trouble legally. Sometimes those things crossed paths and overlapped. He despite those things, like, he wasn't afraid to... Again, he wasn't afraid to give, like, tough love, or to me that's just being real, challenging someone, challenging you as a student to do better, to not do dumb things, and also being like, but I care about you and you should know that. Like, and he never said it that explicitly, but I picked up on it, I knew it, I felt it very sincerely and genuinely, and I thank him for that, because I needed that. Like I said, I didn't even, like, talk to him about stuff, really. Like, and he didn't really ask. You know, there might have been the odd time that we had some conversation about something, and I probably closed up a bit because I didn't want to talk about that stuff because I knew it wasn't really going to make a difference to me. But the fact that he was available made a difference to me. The fact that he was there made a huge difference to me. It just really did. It was so powerful. So that's the thing. It was like him being my basketball coach for those years, like, you know, going on trips, like road trips together, whatever. I was in the gym as much as possible, like practicing, like, I don't know. He was just a friendly, genuinely friendly to almost everybody. Like, I mean, everyone that I don't remember him being like, like aggressive or like a mean spirited person or anything like that. He was so kind and a gentle soul. But I mean, it's not, I mean, he was just so well rounded. Like, again, it wasn't like he was a weak person. He still commanded respect. And I think he got our respect as a team and stuff because he was knowledgeable, because he challenged us in such a wonderful way. I wanted to get the best out of myself. And even when I was scared to, I was a really like scared player. There were certain things that came easy to me that I really, really enjoyed. And there were things that I was like, I'm scared to shoot because I'm scared to miss. And like things that I wish that I pushed myself harder in then because I never really got to where I wanted to be. Anyway, again, going off the rails here. But that's the thing, is that he really genuinely cared. So those two things to me are what make up like a very successful and great teacher. Is like, one, I think you should know your subject. Like, that's a thing that with teaching nowadays, that like there's some, you know, I've heard like there's principals and stuff that have had these conversations like, oh yeah, like, and this is more in middle school and elementary than high school, but like, you, if a great teacher is someone who can just come in and teach anything, that's a great teacher. And I think a lot of what they mean by that is that a great teacher can, they have the classroom management skills to get a class to like pay attention or to not goof off or whatever. But I'm like, what's the use if you don't know your subject area? How knowledgeable are you? How useful are you to students? It's like, to me, it's super weird. Like, imagine if you were a band teacher who couldn't play an instrument. How do you teach band? Like, it's just really difficult because there's art teachers that aren't artists. And I'm like, why are you teaching art? You don't make art. Like, how are you doing that? I don't know. It's like an English teacher who doesn't enjoy reading. Like, I don't think an English teacher needs to be a writer necessarily, but like, you don't enjoy reading at all. Like, you don't do any research on your own. You don't find that interesting. It's like, if it was, again, a science, like, we can do this with all day with any type of teacher, like a science teacher who doesn't enjoy like reading or researching or watching things that are learning about science on their own time, right? It's just like, if you are not engrossed by your subject area, if it's not something that you love doing, how useful are you going to be to students? So, and that's the thing, like, you can completely, sometimes you're the only teacher of that subject in that school, and for me, like, grade 7 to 12, that's a lot of years, too. It's not just, like, sometimes it's like, oh, high school is grade 9 to 12, or grade 10 to 12, so only 3 years, and, like, you're with that art teacher, and maybe, whatever, either way, even in 3 years, you're, if you're not giving students enough information to, and one thing that we talk about as students, like, or as students, one thing we talk about in class is like, okay, what is art to you? That's really important to me, is you defining art for yourself, right? So without challenging students in a certain way and also being open enough, like, you have to expose them to a lot of different stuff. And then it's kind of like, as the years go on, you kind of like just assist them into doing what it is that they want to do. They got to figure out what they want to do when it comes to art anyway. Whatever. So again, these two halves that make up a great teacher to me. One, that you can provide engaging material to students. Stuff that challenges them and makes them want to challenge themselves. You're not going to reach everybody. It's not going to happen. It's just not. But you should be able to connect with some students and engage them with the material you are teaching. And you should be knowledgeable about what you're teaching, etc. And you need to be able to connect with students in a way where you make them know that you actually care about them. Is that going to happen with every single student? No, it's not. It's not. Neither of those things are necessarily going to... When a student leaves my room, like, there's a student who might not get this part or get this part. Just, we didn't connect. They didn't get it. I didn't do enough. Like, there's a lot of reasons as to why. But the thing is, like, I know that's not going to be 100%. It's not gonna happen. But those are those two things to me that are so, so important. Is you actually genuinely have to care about students, and you have to actually know your material and know your subject area and know how to be engaging with the assignments, etc. And you want to do better. You should want to actually, if you like being a teacher, you should like those two aspects of teaching and realize that that's what makes teaching, and that you need to actually do better and challenge yourself and make things better for the students and continually revise your lessons and like try and like see what works best. And then, you know, don't get stale and challenge yourself and make interesting assignments. And things change with the times, right? So you need to incorporate new technologies, whatever else. Okay, to me, those, again, those are those two examples. That's, to me, what makes up a great teacher. I've been fortunate enough to have feedback from students. You know, I'm just kind of starting my teaching career, and, like, I've had feedback in both of these areas that have been so great to have. I know that I don't reach every student, you know? I know it doesn't happen, for sure. It's never going to happen where I connect with every student in a room. But I've had feedback that helps me. It says that, like, hey, you're on the right track. You've been able to connect with some students. Maybe they weren't interested in art at all, but you're able to connect with them on just, like, a personal level where they felt safe talking to me about things that had nothing to do with school or with art or whatever, but they know that I care about them. That's really important to me. And then the other piece is where, like, I've seen some students that were already, like, 90s students, and then still able to push them, and they be then, and then them being grateful for the challenge and for me pushing them, and that means so much to me too. Because it's great when a student comes in and they don't even know they like art, and they probably thought they were going to fail, and then they find an interest and there's a spark there. That's amazing too. But I also, like, just, it's getting someone to challenge themselves that gets me really excited. When someone else gets excited about art, I get super excited. So even if you came in as, like, an 80s or 90s student already, what do you think, that's it? Like, no, well, we can challenge that. We can do better. We can broaden your horizons. Again, I've been fortunate enough. I'm not trying to, like, be a braggart here, but, like, I've been fortunate enough to know that with feedback I've gotten from students directly, that I've been doing some things that have, you know, those two areas to me are so valuable that I've been able to do that, which keeps me thinking, like, how can I continue to do that? How can I do that better? How can I reach more students? Whatever. Not like I don't have any work to do. I've got lots of work to do in a lot of departments. What I want to get to now is talking about why did I specifically choose high school as for what I would like to teach. So there's some funny stories there, and also just, like, kind of happenstance. I guess that the other thing I need to backtrack to, I just realized, like, hey, so we went from, like, when I was a little kid, had this weird memory, and then when high school, I had these great examples of a great teacher and a not good teacher at all, and those things kind of clicked later. I took a year off after high school, just, like, worked, moved out, like, went to a lot of shows and just did stuff, and just got into trouble. And then, you know, one day, my buddy, he phoned me, and he was like, we're gonna go, and we're gonna upgrade, and I was like, okay. And so I went, and then we went to go upgrade our classes, and then I was like, what am I doing again? This is the one thing that wasn't great. I mean, there's a lot of things that weren't great in my high school, but the guidance counselors, at least with me, like, they didn't, like, reach out and, like, what are you going to do with your life? Like, let's get you set up for university or a trade school or whatever it is. What are you going to do after this? Like, that really didn't happen. So I really didn't know, kind of. I did not set myself up to get into university at all. I had to go upgrade classes and get my average up. I had to take Math A30. I graduated with modified grade 11 math. Math sucks. It's really difficult for me. It still is, just because I don't have a brain that's very, like, anything that's formulaic process, even art, like printmaking is a very formulaic process. My brain does not retain the information. It's got no interest. It's bored, and it's hard. So, it's just really not my thing at all, and very difficult for me. So anyway, so I'm in high school, and I kind of was like, oh, maybe I'll be a teacher, I don't know. And I wasn't really thinking about it. I was focused on girls and basketball and, like, writing, I guess, and being sad, being an emo kid forever. So I just wasn't focused on my academics or what I was going to do with my future. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go upgrade. And I was like, well, what am I upgrading for? And then I decided, yeah, I'm going to go into the U of S. I'm going to do an art degree. And then I'm going to go and do education. And there came a point while I was doing my art degree where I was like, I wanted to go into the ed program, right? Because I want to teach high school. And it was like, okay, but I could teach post-secondary. I could teach at the university level. But then I would need to get my master's in art, or an MFA. So that was something, there was a question that was posed to me, and then, like, I had one of my art professors or instructors who was like, yeah, you should get your master's, this school, these are great schools, like, I will go to bat for you, and, like, whatever. And, so I didn't choose that. I thought about it, and I was like, what do I want to do? I mean, there's a lot of, pros and cons to both, or maybe not cons, but there's huge differences to doing both those things. And for me, it was like, well, if you teach at the university level or the post-secondary level, you have to teach way less hours, and you make more money. You put a lot of hours into, like, research and your own personal art practice. And it's like, so I get paid more to teach students less and do my own thing way more. I have more time. I got studio space available to me. Like, this is nuts. This is, like, off the hook. Like, of course that's what I want to do. But here's where it comes in, where we kind of end this thing. Why do I want to teach high school specifically? We're flip-flopping all over the place. I don't, because we're just talking about post-secondary, and the thing is, like, why don't I want to teach little kids? I can't connect with little kids. That's what it comes down to. I can't connect with little kids. And also, I want to introduce challenging material, conceptual stuff. You can't do that with little kids. Part of it is just because it, I mean, you can introduce things, but little kids don't have the cognitive ability to wrap their head around some of these concepts. As much as they say little kids are creative, I mean, it's kind of like responding to stimuli. There's not a lot of, like, actual thought that goes into what they're doing a lot of the time. Little kids in any aspect, in school or not school, it's like my friend's little kids, I don't care. Like, they don't interest me. They're boring. They're loud. They're noisy. They are very selfish. I am too. But I mean, they're just like doing their own thing. They don't really care. That's usually what happens. And I mean, maybe that's like, oh, that's a challenge to get a kid to care about art. But I mean, some teachers or some people are really good at engaging with small children. I am not, and I don't have interest in it because they don't give me anything back. Whereas, like, some people, they get to work with small kids and they get a lot out of that. I don't. I really don't. It just sucks the energy right out of me. I really get something back from students who have something to say, who I can connect with. Like, I can connect with them because I can have a conversation with them. We can talk about art. We can talk about life. You know, we can talk about personal stuff. We can just talk about whatever. Like, serious things, funny things. That connection is really important to me as a person and as a teacher, because that's what feeds me to keep going, is having fun. Talking about art is fun. Teaching art to me is fun. Talking about life, connecting with students, that's fun for me. And teaching little kids is not fun at all. It doesn't have any of that stuff. I can't connect with the students, and I don't get to teach the material I want to teach. I want to teach challenging material that challenges people. I want people to actually be interested in art and not just sit there and make popsicle stick houses all day. That's not art to me. So that's kind of why, that's one reason why I don't want to teach little kids. If we go up and say, oh, well, post-secondary, like, those people are ready. They are ready to learn about conceptual this and that. And yeah, they kind of are. However, this is the piece where this high school age is so, I don't know why it's so magical to me exactly, but I guess I'll try to explain it. Like, people that are in post-secondary are not having the same problems that people in high school are generally. Like, sometimes there's some overlap there. It's only a couple years for some people difference, or, like, not even 1 year difference. They go, like, right after high school. But, I mean, a lot of those people are not constrained in the same way. A lot of people have moved out at that time. Or if they haven't moved out, it's because they have a good relationship with their parents, and that's a whole other thing. There's not much connecting on a one-to-one level with students in post-secondary. It doesn't happen as often. Like, you're there as this authority who knows what they're hecking talking about, and then you engage students to do this and do that and do this, and you give them the time to work on their own stuff a lot. It's not a lot of, like, me lecturing and you know, doing that forever. It's like studio time. You need time to work. You go around and you engage and you talk with people one-on-one a little bit. I would like that. I'm not saying I would not like that. I would like that. That would be awesome. I would love to do that and have really good conversations with students. But the piece that's missing is being able to help students, I guess. To be, for a student, what Mr. Lockhart was to me. To me, that's a very special thing. To me, that's a way that I want to give back. For people that know me even a little bit, it's like, you're just a grumpy old man. Like, yeah, I am. But it's different when it's with this age group of students, because there's, like, a lot of stuff that they're going through. Things aren't fully formed yet. Things are getting so figured out. There's all these outside influences. They don't have control over a lot of things. I mean, like, part of it is projecting my experience in high school too. I really connect with the underdog, the outcast, the people that, you know, aren't, like, having their needs met or aren't being seen. And I try to let those people know that I see you and you know, and I care about you. Those are those type of connections that you're not really, many people are making in university. It's like, no, you're an adult, you're here to learn, let's do it. Like, and you can get excited about that. I can get excited about that. But I still, the ability to connect with a student on this other level isn't really an opportunity in post-secondary as much. And so that's why high school is the best. Again, that just age range of students, like, I find that, you know, with certain people anyway, like, I think sometimes I'm, again, emo kid forever. Part of that is being a kid, and, like, I like having fun, I like to laugh, I have a dark sense of humor, I like, you know what I mean? I don't know, part of me is just still, like, very, like, rooted in contemporary culture, so it's easier for me to connect sometimes, because it's like, yeah, I think the same memes are funny. Like, I it's not like I'm like, I always know what's going on with the kids these days. Like, not always, obviously, because we've got a huge age difference and whatever. But it's still like, I don't know. I think that I come off genuine because I am genuine. So when I just happen to really take in a lot of contemporary culture that students also take in, and we can connect through that. And also, like I said, I want to be able to help kids with a lot of things that I went through that maybe people, like I said, Mr. Lockhart was there for me. I didn't use him the way that even some students have used me, but he was there, and that was enough. So, like, I want to be that. I want to make a positive change, you know. I don't want to be, like, sappy and be like, I want to make a positive change in the world and in my community. It's, you know, if anything, like, leaving a legacy is part of, like, that for me too, is like, I don't really want kids at all. If we go back to the very beginning of my YouTube channel, this thing started on legacy. And part of when people say, like, what do you want to do with your life? I say, I want to change things. As an artist, I can challenge people's perspectives through art sometimes. I can make meaningful art, conceptual stuff that challenges people. I haven't done that for a while, but that's something that I was doing before, and that I know that art has that power and I can do that. I can also do that directly with students and be like, yo, even if we're just talking about art, like, art is not, like, what did you think art was when you came in here? No, throw it out. That's not art. And then I don't necessarily tell them what art is. I tell them what I think art is. But the thing is to push them to figure out what art is for themselves. And to me, art and life and the, like, is such a huge connection there that obviously it's just, like, I feel like it's very important. And to me, again, I don't think of art as just visual art. Like, I'm teaching a visual art class for the most part, but we talk about things like, sometimes it feels like an English class, the way we dissect things. We talk about music, we could talk about dance, we could talk about poetry. Like, there's so many things that could be art to me. But yeah, that's the thing, is that's just the magical age group for me, is like high school. Is like, you know, I mean, grade 12 is the best. Like, to me, that's the most fun to teach, also because the curriculum opens up even more, and then we get to do an exhibition, and they get to do what they really want to do. It just gets better and better every year. From, like, grade 9, I mean, I never taught grade 9, but I know the curriculum, and, like, grade 9 to 12, like, it gets better and better and better the older the students get. One, because it's easier to talk to them, you had some connection, they're more mature, you can have legitimate conversations, and generally they're more interested in what they're doing, and they know more what they're doing, too. But I've obviously had great connections and stuff with grade 10 students, too. Whew, that's me talking for almost an hour straight, and I think that's kind of it. I'm trying to search my mind. Is there anything else that kind of, like, again, this is, John, how did you decide you wanted to become a teacher, you know? And that's kind of, all those things rolled into one. It was kind of like a practical, like, well, you know, I've been in bands, I've been writing, I make visual art. I don't want to say, like, It's not like I chose the practical way out versus, like, I'm never going to make it as, like, I'm trying to be a cartoonist and I'm never going to make it and I'm just going to be a teacher instead. And there's that joke about those who can't do teach. Well, I can do, okay? I just think that, like, you know, becoming a full-time artist is the only other job that I would get fulfillment out of that I can think of right now, other than being, like, a high school art teacher or just an art teacher in general or a teacher in general. That's the only other thing I really feel like I get fulfillment out of, is being, like, a full-time artist. you know, and sometimes the system kind of traps you in a way where you don't think you can do it, and you get scared, and it's like, oh, I don't have a safety net. How do I put all, like, you got to grind, like, really hard, right? And that's the other thing. Like, this goes back to, like, the bad example of my art teacher in high school. Imagine if I knew that I liked art in grade 7. You know how many years were wasted during grade 7 to 12? Well, I mean, yes, do the math. Grade 7 to 12. I didn't know that I liked art until I was out of high school. What if I knew in grade 7? Imagine then. Like, maybe I would be a full-time artist. Maybe I would have, like, figured out, oh, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get my BFA. I'm going to get a master's or whatever. I'm going to, like, get into the art world and I know about it. Like, you know what I mean? I don't have regrets. I love being a high school art teacher. That's what I, you know, I'm still on that train of that's, like, really, really what I want to do. Other opportunities might come their way and I might take them. But, I mean, still, that's, like, my ideal thing right now is being a high school art teacher. I get so much fulfillment out of connecting with students and them challenging me, and it's just been amazing. And I'm going to babble, and, you know, talking about students and stuff always gets me emotional. So, yeah, I think that's it. I would love if you have questions, ask me. If you have comments, whatever. But that is kind of my journey as to, like, why did you decide to be a teacher, John? That's why.